Congratulations, boy.
Many gave their lives that we might stand here once again, united in the government of a lawful republic.
Gaius Octavian, who is henceforth to be regarded, for all intents and purposes, as my lawful son.
Gaius Octavian. Caesar.
Welcome!
Wiki wiki woo! Wiki wiki whack!
Life of Augustus Caesar, episode 68. One before
Or as I like to think of it, yeah. I was going to say 69 minus one. Let's just do it that way from now on. 69 minus one.
69 minus one is just masturbation. It's just you. Pretending.
Or sucking yourself. Same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing.
So, Ray, this is the first Caesar show we've done since your visit. We talked about it a little bit on the Alexander show, but not everybody who listens to this listens to that because they're a bunch of assholes, really.
Fucking.
Who don't support.
Thank you.
Our premium shows, and not that I'm trying to make them feel guilty about it, but I hope they feel guilty about it. They listen to the free show. Love the free show. Enjoy the free show. The premium shows, the ones where we actually pay for our incredibly hedonistic podcasting lifestyles, all the books that we have to buy, that's pretty much it. They don't listen to those.
They don't care. They don't care about us.
Because they have better things to do with their money, like, I don't know, buy food,
rent,
watch them.
Yeah.
Mayweather.
Mayweather,
whatever the those guys' names are having the big fight and get pay per view.
So
tell everyone a little bit about your trip.
Okay, so so it was amazing. Bounced around four different cities on the east coast of Australia, and then we went to Auckland, New Zealand, which was magical. It was very weird to pack for a trip. One day wearing a light winter coat, a couple days later in a bathing suit on the beach. But that's the way they do it in Aussie land. Most people by now have probably heard the infamous story of the topless bar. To wit, my daughters now have a new career path lined up for them. They're very excited about it. They've been practicing since we've been home. Let's see here. There is the story of the cock and bull that I would like to share. I could do it at the end of one or do it now, but just a little... Little story. I think it's when we left Cairns, our last day on Cairns. Would you like me to tell it now?
Yeah, I haven't heard this story. Right. Tell me your cock story.
So we've been in Cairns for 4 or 5 days, and we're getting ready to leave, and the weather's been absolutely gorgeous. We went snorkeling the Great Barrier Reef, went to the beach, just a whole bunch of exciting things, and it was great. And so the last night, Rachel and I, my sister-in-law, we wanted to go to a pub. We wanted to go out. We wanted to celebrate. Gabe, Heather, my wife, and Gabe, her brother, decided to go didgeridoo shopping, which is, I don't know, you don't do that on your last night. But anyway, so Rachel and I said, we'll go there first, and we'll get a table. So we're walking there. It's about 10 minutes away. And as we're talking about it, Rachel can't say cock and bull. Every time she tries to say it, she says cock and balls. So we're just laughing. We're just laughing up a storm. So we finally get there, and it's the kind of place where you have to go up to the bar and order. You have to go up to the register and order your food. Something very different than we do in the States. And Rachel is about 13 years younger than me. She is taller than I am, and she's very pretty, and I know she's not listening to this, so I can get away with saying this as she's, my wife.
And her IQ is about three times yours.
Well, yeah, but that's not really saying much. So a bunch of guys are looking at her, and they're looking at me standing next to her, going, "Are what brother and sister? What's going on here? Dad, daughter? What's going on here?" So just to fuck with them, I'd put my arm around her, and I'm like, "What do you want, honey? You pick out anything you want. I got this covered. Daddy's gonna take good care of you tonight." And she doesn't really know what's going on, and she just starts laughing. "Oh, thank you, honey." So we're sitting there, just getting awkward, and we order our food, and then we sit down. And next to us is a table of just, I don't know, their Aussie rule football guys, because not one of them is over 25. They're all over 6 foot. They're all massive, and they're all checking her out, you know, because she's a a pretty young thing. And so again, the question is, you know, are they together, whatever? And so they're looking at me, they're looking at her, and they're trying not to be too rude about it, but they are Australian. So, you know, they're pretty blatant. And I finally said to her, we've had about two or three beers by now, still waiting on Heather and Gabe. And I said, honey, what's the name of this place? And she knows I'm joking. So she raises her glass in a toast and she yells out, the Cock and Balls. And I was like, that's right, honey. The Cock and Balls. That's right. So these guys over at the other table are pretty much just admiring me, or maybe I'm their hero at this point for being able to bag this babe. Just as they leave, Heather and Gabe show up with their didgeridoos and we go back to behaving ourselves. But it was a little fling that we had with alcohol and also just to impress the locals. So again, she cannot still to this day say cock and bull. I don't know what that says about her. I don't need to know what that says about her because she's not my wife. But it was a pretty good ending to our trip in Cairns.
And Heather bought a didgeridoo? Seriously?
She did. And she picked it out. She had my debit card, so I bought it. And she brought it back with her. And I don't honestly know if she's put her lips around it once. So, but the guy taught her how to play. He spent like 15 minutes with her. Maybe just wanted to see her in action, but he'd spent like 15 minutes with her and she's a musician. She plays the flute. She's a flautist. So she had it down pretty good in about 15 minutes. So she bought one.
Really? Wow. That's fantastic. Yeah. I've always wanted a didgeridoo. I got to get back to the dig one day. Well, that's great. And it was good. Good to see you all and to hang out, meet your extended family, show you some of the sights.
Yeah, it was a blast.
I had a good time. I'm glad you did too.
Yeah.
And thanks again, in all seriousness, to all the folks that came out in Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane for our meet and greets. We loved it. We loved meeting you all. Great bunch of people. Top, stellar. And I want to talk about one of them, actually. Tim O'Dwyer came to our Brisbane event. Tim is a lawyer, and he has written a book, Real Estate Escapes, True Tales of Getting Out of Contracts, Leases, Prosecutions, and Legal Liability. Now, the number of those I think I will need legal help with at some point in the future, probably not sure. Real estate related, just prosecutions and legal liability, I'm quite sure. Tim's been a lawyer a property lawyer for 40 years, well known in the community as a real estate watchdog. So if you're interested in knowing how to avoid real estate dramas, check out his book, realestateescapes.com.au is where you can read more about that. Gave me a copy of his book, haven't read it, because it's not about Jesus or Caesar.
Same person. I don't know why you said the name twice.
I know. It's all I have time to do. It's what I was I was telling Ray that I had bad insomnia last night. Couldn't sleep all night. So, I just reading about Christianity all night, man. 8 hours of it. Good stuff. Even that didn't put me to sleep. I thought that surely put me to sleep.
Really?
Reading an analysis.
I've heard these stories before.
An analysis of the epistles of Paul. That didn't put me to sleep. Anyway, on with the show. Last time, we on 67, we talked about Augustus adopting Agrippa's two young sons. They're renamed Gaius and Lucius Caesar. Agrippa was given a 5-year proconsulship with no particular province. Just go out there, young man, proconsul yourself wherever you need to,
wherever you happen to be. Exactly.
And also Agrippa makes the first map of the known world, and we're still around 18 BCE where we picked that up. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the way that Augustus is presenting himself as a man of the people, much like you and I did when we did our meet and greets.
Of course. Right.
Had lots of emails.
We mixed with the commoners.
Yeah. I had lots of emails from people after our event saying, you know, I just want to say I wasn't quite sure what to expect before I came along. I thought you were going to be I thought you could, end up being a complete arsehole. People always say you shouldn't
not a complete
you shouldn't meet your heroes, But damn it, man, you're a really nice guy. And I said, well, I fooled you, didn't I, fucker? Don't tell anyone. no. Augustus, remember early on in his career, we talked about he didn't want to end up like Julius. So he made sure that he took precautions. He formed the Praetorian Guard. And they had to save him from a couple of hairy situations, I recall. There was one at some games where people started to get a little bit rowdy around him, and they had to swoop in and sweep him up and whip him out and all of that kind of stuff. But he's a bit older now. The situation's a bit more stable. He's less worried about his personal safety while he's in Rome. Still possible, I guess, for him to be murdered, but he seems to be mixing with the people fairly openly, freely, both the senators and the commoners. I'm pretty sure that he still keeps a couple of cohorts of Praetorians just outside of Rome, and everyone knows they're there. Right. It's kind of his version of gunboat diplomacy. Look, you can fuck with me, but if you do, just so you know, there's 1,500 heavily armed, highly trained guys just 10 minutes that way that will... And I've got this whistle around my neck. It's my rape whistle. I blow this, these guys come running.
And unlike Pompey, if I do stamp my foot, men really will come running. So absolutely right. And but there were opportunities if you really wanted to take him out and you were willing to sacrifice yourself, I guess, and you were willing to risk instability, civil war, and we cannot, to do it justice, describe how tired these people were of instability and civil war. But yeah, I mean, he greeted senators. He called them out by their names. He said goodbye to the senators. And
Barry!
He had a pretty impressive...
Stan!
What?
Barry! Barry, Stan! Hey! hey, didn't I fire your asses? Well, it doesn't matter. Come over, give me a hug. Give me a hug.
Come on in. Come on in. If you've got the right kind of blood, we need you in the Senate. Doesn't matter. But he didn't use a nomenclature. He didn't use someone standing behind him whispering names. He was able to remember names. And again, he walked in the streets of Rome. He was in a litter at times. Commoners were able to approach him. So again, if someone, I guess if a fanatic or someone mentally unstable really wanted to kill him, there were moments that it was possible. But again, you probably would die very quickly and Rome would theoretically be thrown into a state of chaos. Except for now, we have Agrippa. We have the two adopted boys, even though they're obviously pretty young. But we do have Tiberius and the and Drusus. So again, stability is slowly being taken care of, even if something happens to this man, because remember he had those spells, I don't even know what to call them, not fainting spells, but where he would just almost go into a coma-like state where he couldn't be awoken, or maybe that was just cowardice. But the point is, he has figured this thing out. He's got backup in case something happens to him, and Rome in general has figured out that he is the best ticket there is right now. Please, no one do anything stupid and end this guy's life sooner than it has to.
And I guess a lot of things have changed in terms of the construction of the Senate. Is that the right word? Is that the word I'm thinking of? You know, he's a lot of the old aristocratic families are gone. The Senate has been purged of a lot of elements that may have previously wanted to see him dead. So the Senate has been stacked full of these nouveau homos that... were created as a result of the wealth generated by his campaigns and his land grants and all that kind of stuff. So they're fairly well. Can't think.
He stacked the deck.
Yeah, they like him. The people like him. Yep. I would imagine, generally speaking, because again, as you said, he's brought peace and stability, and not just stability, but prosperity, food, jobs. What's not to like about him?
Games?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, he's a quasi-dictator, but as I've said a million times on the shows, who gives a fuck? If you're one of the regular people, you just want to work, get paid, go home, bang your wife, bang your sister-in-law at a pub while your wife and her husband aren't around. Don't think you fooled me with that bullshit story, man. I know what was really going on. There's a great story.
I sent my wife. Yeah.
You sent your wife?
I sent my wife away. There, I'm going to confess that I sent my wife away with my debit card to buy the didgeridoo so I could take her to the cock and ball. Cock and ball. Mm. Cock and ball.
Yeah. Honey, why don't you go and buy a big, long, black thing that you can wrap your lips around? You don't actually wrap your lips around it, though, should point out. The hole is so big, you put your lips inside it.
Right. Now I'm really turned on. Thanks.
And then you vibrate them rapidly like this.
Oh, I got to chill.
Can't do circular breathing.
When Cam does that in your belly button, he calls that foreplay.
I've got to be... What did... Martin Darlington chewed me out in an email the other day for smacking my lips before I talk on the podcast. Were you aware that I smack my lips?
Yeah, but that's just one of the endearing things that you do.
I don't even know.
Well, of course you're not. It's just a thing that you do. You wouldn't be aware of it. He needs to calm the fuck down. Who does he think he is?
Smacking my lips. Like that? Is that what I do, Martin? Is that it? Is that annoying you, Martin?
Do you like that, Martin?
Yeah, fuck you, Martin. Don't fucking tell me what to do.
This is my damn show.
There's a great story just about Augustus and his interactions with the people that I'm sure you read about this Greek poet that...
He had a plan.
He had a poem. He had written a poem for Augustus, in praise of Augustus, wanted to present it to him so he would wait out the front of Augustus's house on the Palatine every day, probably with a group of other people waving photos they want to get signed,
autograph, please.
You know, original copies of his prescriptions that they wanted to sign, memorabilia that you'd pick up.
Ouch! Too soon, man. Too soon.
And Augustus just ignored him, even though he, you know, probably knew what the guy wanted. Because it's like, dude, I've got Virgil and Horace writing poems about me. Right. Seriously, really? You think I want to read your shitty little poem?
Well, his poem was probably like, "Roses are red, violets are blue. Augustus is awesome. Everybody says so."
It's not bad. So then anyway, one day, this goes on day after day, so this guy's there, "Please, please, Augustus, read my poem. Now, if this was a superhero origin story, I know what would happen. Right. This guy would get pissed off that Augustus had ignored him, and he would blow himself up and take, and in the course of which he'd probably get superpowers, and then shit, it would be on, man. Or... Right. Or he would, if it was an Eminem song, he would be pissed off that Augustus ignored him, would get his girlfriend, tie her up, put her in the boot of the car, drive around, recording a message to Augustus saying, "I'm going to kill my bitch girlfriend, and it's all because, you know, you dissed me."
Yeah, right. I thought you were going to say he was going to go to, where do we go with the glowworms, the cave? He would go there and he would eat a bunch of glowworms and he'd get special powers from the glowworms, and then kill Augustus with radiation. But that sounds a little fun.
Picture on my wall, it reminds me that it's not so bad.
you, but you still ain't calling. I left my cell, my pager, and my home phone at the bottom. I sent two letters back in autumn, you must not have got them. There probably was a problem in the post office or something. Sometimes I scribble addresses too sloppy when I jot them. But anyways, fuck it, what's been up, man? How's your daughter? My girlfriend's pregnant too, I'm about to be a father. If I have a daughter, guess what I'ma call her? I'ma name her Bonnie. I read about your Uncle Ronnie too, I'm sorry. I had a friend kill himself over some bitch who didn't want him. I know you probably hear this every day, but I'm your biggest fan. I even got the underground shit that you did with Scam. I got a room full of your posters and your pictures, man. I like the shit you did with Rockets too, that shit was fat. Anyways, I hope you get this, man. Hit me back, just a chat. Truly yours, your biggest fan. This is Stan.
Stan!
Stan!
He was.
That's what happened after he got kicked out of the Senate. Stan, Barry. And,
he went to rap.
Who was the other one?
He turned
Stan,
to rap.
Barry, and... I can't remember the name of the other senator. There was another one. They had a rap group. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, back to this fucking poet. So,
yeah.
One day Augustus decides to fuck with the guy, and he goes up to him. He's leaving the Palatine castle, the palace, the original palace.
Right.
And he went up to the guy, and the guy holds out his, please, please read my poem. Augustus shakes his head. No. Reaches into his toga, pulls out a flask of whiskey, goes, no, wrong. Reaches in again, pulls out a handkerchief, which he keeps pulling, and it just keeps coming, and it keep coming, goes, no.
Different colors. Goes,
hey, I'm working on my trick. Reaches in again, pulls out a rabbit, and he, no, not that. Reaches into his toga again, pulls out a piece of papyrus on which he had written a few verses of his own poetry.
Aww.
And he hands them to the Greek poet. Hey, check it out. And the guy read that out, and that was roses are red, violets are blue, my name is Augustus, fuck you. That was pretty much what it had. And
what do you think of that?
The Greek reads it aloud and goes, oh, fuck that, man, that is one, you are so talented, Augustus, seriously.
Pure poetry.
Yeah.
Pure poetry.
Eminem got nothing on you as a wordsmith. And then he gives, the poet this is, gives Augustus a few coins for his trouble. Like, aww. Princeps, you took time out to write me a poem. It was lovely. Please have some money. And then he apologized and said, I'm sorry it's so little money, but I'm broke. And A, I'm broke. B, I'm a poet. B, I had a job, but I've been standing at the front of your house for the last 3 months trying to get you to read my poem. So I haven't earned any money. I haven't eaten for 3 months. I haven't bathed. Yeah, I got fired from my job.
My girl left me.
The
dog died because I didn't feed it.
The toga factory. he went and invented country music after that.
That's true. That's history.
He said, I swear by the good fortune of Augustus that if I had more, I could give you more.
Oh.
Augustus said, well, I could fix that. Called up one of his attendants, Barry. Barry, give the man 100,000 sesterces.
And he does.
And he does.
Fucking crazy.
Yeah. Now, in the early empire, just to remind everyone of the exchange rate, 4 sesterces was equal to 1 denarius. Not Daenerys Targaryen, different. That's completely slight different. Not Daenerys Targaryen, right. Daenerys. And 1 denarius was probably the daily wage for a typical job. So the average annual wage in the US as of now is $52,000 a year. There's about 261 working days in a year, so the average daily wage is about $200. So this would suggest that one sesterce, according to my dodgy math I did on the back of a napkin, would be about $50 US money. 100,000 sesterce, 100,000 times $50, $5 million.
Fuck.
He just gives the guy $5 million.
Because he amused him.
Because the next day, Augustus comes out with another poem and says, all right, give me, you said you'd give me more. You know you got $5 million. What's my poem worth now, bitch? No, that second part of the story never happened. But I like to imagine that's what he did. He gave the guy $5 million. Next day, went back and said, you know, so what you think my poem's only worth $1 million, really? I'm the princeps, it's only worth $1 million. Two? That's all you got? You got more? I know you got more. I gave you $5 million yesterday. I'd be like, oh, yeah, I spent it on hookers, man. These Roman hookers, man. Shit that they can do for $5 million, you would not believe. So that's a
forget
good...
Forget a didgeridoo.
That's a good story. Only appears in one of the sources in not a good source, I think. But can't remember the name of the source. But Macrobius, I think it was. I think the point is he's an affable guy, Augustus.
Right. And he's not distant.
Not distant.
You can approach him.
Yeah. He's a man of the people. You can stand outside his gate, he'll talk to you, he'll take your poems, give you money if you amuse him. Remember we had
Bang your wife.
We had that story a while back about the parrots. that were taught to say, you know, "Viva la Emperor" or something. Yeah,
right. They got a lot of money too. Well, one of them got a lot of money too. So yeah,
yeah. So he's a pretty approachable guy.
Now let's be honest. He is probably passing out Egyptian money because he owns that freaking state and he owns that treasury. And it has, and as we've said before, it's a very wealthy country for a lot of different reasons, trade and whatnot. So he's got a very large. He's got basically a black credit card, no name on it, just a squiggle line or whatever. It's limitless. I mean, this guy has got tons of cash.
Yeah. So he's pretty approachable. Not just for the aristocracy or the new aristocracy, the Senate, but just by the people, and yet they're not trying to assassinate him. There's nothing in the historical record about attempts to assassinate him. So that's got to say, maybe it's out of fear, but it doesn't seem to be. It seems to be out of just, as we said before, A, partly he's done good. B, no one wants to go back to... Everyone knows what assassinating him would mean for life in Rome. No one's ready for that.
Let me throw this in. So I would think theoretically he could not really, even if he wanted to be aloof, I don't think he could. I mean, you have great men like Caesar who came before him. I mean, he has got to try something different. He has got to break the mold and at the same time reshape it. And so I think that was probably a true aspect of his personality to be like that. But at the same time, you think he's got to come in thinking, I've got to try something different than what my father did by trying to proclaim himself king, that he's better than everybody else. I've got to come in with a completely different game plan. And the fact that he was able to bring stability and prosperity, I think helped play into that. But I think a part of this had to be calculated, that he had to be seen as approachable and nothing more than just the first among equals.
Is that what he means by lip smacking what I just did then? I went, which is, I don't know, that's not lip smacking. It's me opening my mouth and sucking all the saliva.
Yeah,
it's me
your moist lips are closed. Yeah. You go to speak, you open them, and that sensual sound comes out. I think Martin is trying to get you not to do it because it's distracting.
Turning him on too much. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what that is. I'll try and retrain myself out of it now.
Keep your mouth open the whole time, and that way you don't have to worry.
That's what you said to me in Sydney that night. Just keep your mouth open the whole time. Don't ask questions. Now,
just relax your jaw. We'll take a moment.
So in the context of all of this, it's possible that the adoption of Agrippa's two sons could have been seen as a good thing because it's assurance of continuity in the event that something does happen to Augustus. You know, I just am fascinated by the parallels here. Julius Caesar didn't have any kids of his own. Augustus didn't have any sons of his own. Alexander the Great didn't have any sons of his own when he died. Napoleon didn't have any children. Hitler didn't have any children. There's a thread there between these. I don't know why I added Hitler in that list, but
it's true.
It just jumped out at me. Interesting that these famous military dictators.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, Napoleon was a dictator. Let's not pretend he wasn't. We can fluff around the edges of it and say that he was wanted and loved by the people, all of that. Probably true. Still a dictator at the end of the day.
Yeah.
All power rested in his hands, effectively. Didn't have children. I think this is the lesson here is don't have kids if you want to be a great dictator, because they just get in the way, man. You just, you know.
They really
do.
Just,
yeah. They fuck your life up. Don't have kids.
If you want to rule the world, don't have kids. Yeah, yeah. If you got to reach for your sword to intimidate somebody and get, instead of it's a bag of nappies, it's just not the same thing. Would you say that maybe their egos couldn't allow them to have? I mean, they've got to focus all of their self on themselves. They've got to spend all their time on their goals and aspirations. I wonder if it's almost a conscious or subconscious choice not to have something else major in their life, like a child, to focus on, because it would distract from whatever their goals they're trying to achieve.
I think, well, Julius Caesar was away on campaign most of his adult life.
Yeah.
And he did have a daughter, obviously, but not a son. Right. I should have said that before. So he had been trying to have kids.
Mm-hmm.
Augustus had been trying to have kids with both of his wives, Scribonia and Livia.
Livia
had a daughter to Scribonia, as we know. But by the time he gets to Livia, man, she's just old and worn out. Her womb's just, you know, not working.
Past
could be him.
But there was a lot of fucking going on. I mean, we know that
a lot of
Augustus was banging a lot of married women. Mm-hmm. I wonder if any of them were impregnated by him. Obviously, you wouldn't terminate that child. Caesar had to have sex somewhere along the way, and so. But again, you just wonder. How many kids Augustus really did have?
I wonder if Augustus took him to the cock and balls first.
it would have worked.
Who else we got? Alexander the Great. Well, yeah, he knocked up a couple of chicks, but they didn't get birth until after he died. Well, Roxanne anyway. We've got Napoleon. Yeah, well, Josephine was old and she'd had kids before him. She was old and worn out by the time they hooked up. He did have a illegitimate child with Marie Valeska, I think, but who I think Mark met Count Valeska at some point.
Nice.
When he was quite old. Who else did I mention? Hitler? Well, Hitler.
He got married the day he died. But anyway.
Yeah. So, I think these guys certainly were trying to have children and have an heir, but just didn't work out for some reason.
Yeah.
Anywho. So, that's probably why he's adopted Agrippa's sons, of course. So, there's some continuity. He's got Livia's sons, but these are now his sons. He's adopted them. They're closer to him. They're actually his blood, kind of, because they're Julia's kids, right?
Right. Yeah.
So they're his.
So yeah, I mean, they're born. He literally snatches them up in adoption, which and I'm sure all the listeners know this, but Romans took that shit extremely seriously. So he now has sons. The future is being looked after because that's his job. The present. And the future, that is what drives Augustus at this point in his life, because he's, 45 years old, something like that?
Yeah, 44, 45 at this point. 63, right. 18, whatever that is. 45, yeah. Yeah. So it's not like these boys needed his money. I mean, Agrippa wasn't short of a buck. It's not like they weren't going to get the latest iPhone. They were so rich, these boys, their slaves had slaves.
Wow. That's what I aspire to.
As Marcus Aurelius wrote, and this is real, I'm not even making this up, he is so rich he has no room to shit.
What?
Yeah.
That's that.
Marcus Aurelius, that's in the Meditations, man. He's talking about some, I can't remember who it was, somebody who was rich. I always like that quote. He's so rich he has no room to shit.
I'm sorry, I'm going to need you to break that down. He has no room to shit because if he did shit, he would shit on something worth a value.
Yeah.
Or he's just...
I guess.
I guess.
He's just got so much shit, like, you know, expensive shit in his house, he has nowhere to take a shit.
Okay. All right. Now it makes sense.
You know,
now
statues and whatever. Now, getting back to the idea of children, how are we going for time here? We got, we're good. We're doing good. One of the things Augustus was worried about was a rumor sort of that was going around Rome that the elite weren't getting married or having children for exactly the reasons we've been talking about. It was expensive to raise children. It was a distraction from your military and political career.
Podcast career.
And if you wanted them to go into the magistracy, if you wanted them to go through the cursus honorum, as it was at this point in time, that cost a lot of money. You had to fund all of their campaigns and the festivals they need to run, all this kind of shit. So people just weren't having people weren't having kids.
And you had to own a certain amount of land in order to be a senator and have other offices. And I think that kept getting raised over the years. So you've got to certainly buy a plot of land or give them a plot of land so they can qualify. So you absolutely just going out of the gate, you were going to spend a lot of money on these guys.
Yeah. So Augustus decided to act. He wants people having kids. More fucking, more kids was his motto. Make Rome fuck again. That was his new
within model. Certain confines. Yes. It's a very big hat.
Yeah,
make Rome fuck again within certain confines.
Yeah, yeah. That was in small font underneath it.
Next to Made in China.
Now this is a common thing that, you know, we've seen all over the world, all throughout history. You need there to be another generation to come after your generation, what are you doing it all for? He needs the Roman elite to do their duty, have kids who can then become part of Rome's elite class, keeping in mind that a lot of the elite had died during the civil wars and the proscriptions. And he has the power as a censor to supervise public morals and behavior.
Right. He wasn't just pulling this out of his ass. Because censors in the past had focused on at least public behavior in their portfolio, that gives him an in to do this. But what really happens is a lot of the older senators are complaining about younger senators and people who are not quite senators yet, but they're in the right class to be a senator. They're fucking around, but not in a good way. They're not getting married. They're partying or whatever. And as we said before, Roman culture had this thing about not trusting youth, not giving them too much power. Obviously, Augustus is turning that on its head. But the point is, These guys are complaining to Augustus. Augustus listens to them, and because of his unique position, he is going to do something about it. Not his brightest moment, but he is definitely going to try to do something about this.
Yeah, and you know, I was thinking about this last night when I couldn't sleep, and I was reading the book on the Epistles of Paul. Famously, Paul, the very first Christian writer, wrote a lot about the morals of Christians. Do not fornicate, la la la, get married, no adultery, no homosexuality. He's laying down the law to the early Christian communities, and he's writing these letters in the 50s CE, so about 70 years, give or take, after 18, when we're talking about with Augustus. And I was thinking about the connection between Augustus's introduction of this new public moral code and then Paul picking that up and running with it in his own communities half a century or so later. Because it's, I don't think most people know that. They go, oh, you know, oh, Christianity, all about the morals. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do the other. Well, yeah, Augustus beat him to it, bitches. Augustus introduced this these new rules about who and when you can fuck, and tried to curb the hedonism that mm-hmm. this new prosperous, newly wealthy class of Roman elite was getting into. And he had the power to do it because when he had returned from the East, he was given a new superpower. Remember when he came back after getting the standards back from the Parthians and they were like, oh, we're going to give you all these new superpowers. One of them was the right to pass a Lex Augusta. Now, I passed a Lex Augusta once and I had to go see a doctor about it. And he said, yeah, look, just don't eat as much red meat, really. That's all you need to do there. You'll be fine. Nasty. Yeah. Just put me on a fluid diet for a week.
Cured.
No, what was a Lex Augusta, Ray? Explain that to the kids.
That is a decree that he could make a law without having to go through the process of having the Senate vote on it. Again, that's pretty impressive. Now, obviously, you can be sarcastic and go, wow, big deal. But the point is, they were giving this to him. We're not sure if he engineered it, but the point is, it was done. It was done publicly. And, of course, Augusta. He is smart enough not to either accept it or to use it. Because, remember, he is nothing more than the servant of the people and the Senate of Rome, and he is the first among equals. So thank you very much for this, but it wouldn't be proper, it wouldn't be wise. Whatever I do in the future, I will run it by the Senate, because we are all in this together.
Yeah, first among equals. So he presents a proposal to the Senate for approval, probably mm-hmm. passing it through his small council first.
I thought you were going to say small intestine. Well, yeah.
Shit, you stole my fucking joke. That's what I was going to say, man.
Oh, shit, I'm sorry. Edit that out.
When I passed Alex Augusta, I had to pass it through my small intestine. Oh, there you go. We've been working together too long, man. You're finishing my jokes for me now.
We're in sync.
Jesus.
We're sync. Our cycles are sinking. Sinking. Something. I can't talk. I'm getting sinking and sinking mixed up. Fuck. This is only hour one, people. It's going to get worse.
He passed it through his small council. I haven't slept. That's my excuse. Then it went to the assembly for a vote. Of course, it was passed. This is the Lex Julia De Maritandis Ordinibus. Fuck, let me try that again. The Lex Julia De Maritandis Ordinibus.
Nice. Good job.
So it basically offered a number of things. There was inducements to marriage. You got benefits if you got mm-hmm. married. It imposed penalties upon people who remained celibate. And he instituted the law of three sons. So if you had three male offspring, you got extra bonuses. So I, Ray, having three sons,
yes,
would have fucking scored under the Lex Julia De Maritandis Ordinibus. How would you fare, Ray? Have you lived up? How are you situated in the eyes of Augustus at this moment?
It could be better. It could be better. Well, I've got one son.
Does it depend on Rachel and the cock and balls and what comes out of that? Dalion?
We'll see what happens 9 months. We'll see what happens 9 months from now. No, I have one son and four daughters. But if I was of the aristocracy, obviously I would be a very powerful person, because I could marry my daughters off to four different other powerful men and have a very strong alliance. But no, one son, I could be doing better. But there was benefits for people who had three or more children in general. So I would get something, but not as, I would not be as praised as well as you would be.
No.
For your penis.
All praise be upon those of us that can generate male offspring. Now, celibates who were of marrying age and young widows who refused to get married were prohibited from receiving inheritances.
Damn.
And from attending public games.
That's intense. This guy's serious about this.
Yeah. I want you to go out there and fuck, but get married first. Get married first.
Open your legs. Open your legs for Rome and the greatness of Rome. Ask not what you can do, or I don't know, but open your legs.
Senators also were forbidden from marrying freed slave women.
Yeah, I can see that.
But this was permitted for everybody else, including equestrians. Right. Because many people believed that there were fewer women than men for some reason. Now, I would have thought it'd be the other way around because all the men would have been killed during the Civil War and the prescriptions, etc. But apparently, everyone was too busy trying to have male sons, not enough women. Right. So everyone else could marry a freed slave woman, but not senators. I guess that was to keep the bloodlines pure in the elite.
Well, plus he's just looking out for their reputation, their dignitas, if you will. Yeah, so the senators are kept in a class by themselves, and this is just one of the many things. And don't get us wrong, these guys are not happy about this.
Yeah. He also passes another law at the time, the Lex Julia de Adulterius. And just purely coincidence that it has the words Julia and adultery in it at this point in time. But she took it as a challenge.
That's right. And she met that challenge. So we'll get into that a little later.
She lived up to that challenge later on. We'll get to that, yeah.
So
the adultery law, let's just call it that, punished adultery, as you might expect, and any fucking with free-born women outside of wedlock. Well, there go my benefits that I was going to get from having three sons. I'm fucked now. So yes. What Augustus giveth, Augustus taketh away.
That's right. Yeah, but again, these young men were just... I mean, but if you think about it, it makes sense. Augustus brings stability. He brings prosperity. And if you're a 21, a 25, a 26-year-old son of a senator, and your dad suddenly has a lot of cash again, I mean, yeah, you are going to want to live it up. And the last thing you're probably thinking is settling down, getting married, having a bunch of kids. I mean, this is your golden age. This is time to party. Thanks to all of Augustus's hard work. Why wouldn't you want to be footloose and fancy free? So I don't get why he doesn't get the disconnect here.
Great TED talk by Kevin Bacon recently, talking about the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon and how when it first happened, when it first came out like 20 years ago, he was like, oh, that's horrible, that's fuck you guys. Anyway, and then over time he came to embrace it and in fact even turned it into a charity. It was really good, just him talking about just the process of taking what at first seemed like something disparaging about his all the shit films that he'd made over the years and the good films into a positive. Right. It was really good. Good talk.
Yeah.
One of the big lessons in life, kids, Uncle Cam, pull up a chair, kids, Uncle Cam here. One of the lessons to learn in life, you've heard me talk about this before, but I'm going to say it again because this is something you can't hear enough. One of the big things to learn in life is to how to take a shit sandwich and turn it into lunch. I'm not sure if that's a good analogy. How to take anything negative that happens to you and figure out how to turn it to your advantage. Because bad shit happens. And what most people do when bad shit happens is they go, oh, poor me. Woe is me. How could this happen to me? It's not fair. It's not fair. It's not fair. Which gets you nowhere. One of the big lessons to learn is when something bad happens, you sit down, you go, okay, well, these are the two questions that I've taught my sons since the time they were 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure they've paid any attention, but one day, hopefully, it'll come up. They'll go, oh, yeah, my dad used to say, before he was shot by the Border Patrol in America trying to get into the country.
Right.
Yeah, by the far right. Christian terrorists for his Jesus film. When bad things happen to you, there's two questions you ask. How do I turn this to my advantage? Second is, what does this enable me to do that I wasn't able to do previously? You start thinking that way about negative things and you go, oh, okay. You start looking, you go, oh, all right, well, maybe, you know, maybe I can go do this now. My wife found out that I was banging my sister-in-law at the Cock and Bull, and she left me for D'Angelo.
Right.
What does it... Well, now I don't have a wife to worry about. I can spend more time preparing for podcasts so, you know, Cam doesn't fire me.
Right.
You know, you...
Turn it into a positive.
You turn it into a positive. And it's just thinking. You just think. You get creative. You just think. It's not always easy to figure out the answer to the question. Sometimes it's hard, but if you don't think about it, if you just sit there wallowing and going, poor me, and crying in your beer, you might write a good country song, but you're not going to turn it around. Learn to turn shit around, folks, and life will be a lot more fun. Anyway, where was I going with that? Footloose. People fucking. Yes. Punishing the new law, the adultery law, punished adultery and any sexual intercourse with free-born women outside. You can fuck your slaves. That's fine. Fuck slaves.
Who doesn't?
All you want, my friends. But not the free-born women out of wedlock. Now, if you think about this in terms of the Pauline Christianity stuff I said before, he was speaking out against adultery. He was speaking out against fornication in general. Unless you were married, it's not that big a difference. Christians think that Paul invented this stuff, or maybe they think Jesus invented it, even though he said nothing about it and it probably didn't exist. But anyway, Paul's the first Christian writer to mention it. But here we have 70 years before Paul, Augustus, who, I might remind you, is the Son of God and the Savior of mankind, sent by the gods to bring about peace and stability on earth and to forgive the people for the sins that they had committed for the gods, against the gods previously.
Now, there were some older senators who probably, even with the little blue pill, couldn't have been able to get it up for the last 20, 25 years. They didn't think that Augustus went far enough. They wanted stronger, tougher, longer, harder, meaner, leaner laws. But according to Dio, Augustus was reluctant to do that. He felt he had gone far enough because this is a lot of gray area. How in the hell are you going to regulate what goes on behind closed doors? Or at least, God, I hope it's going on behind closed doors. But it's a very tricky subject. How do you regulate someone's personal behavior?
Yeah. The Senate were concerned that the younger generation were too wild, what with their rock and roll and their marijuana and their long hair.
Leather jackets.
Hipster beards, their lesbian porn. And, you know, they said, you know...
Topless bars.
Yes, I took Ray into a topless bar. Accidentally, not just Ray, his entire entourage.
No, he took
children,
the whole fucking family.
Catholic priest who was with us, everybody. Good time was had by all. Anyway.
It was probably the best day of his life.
Yeah. First and only boob he's ever seen. Because young 12-year-old boys don't have boobs, no. Which is what...
Catholic. Unless you feed them a lot.
Chicken. Yes, so he said that the senators wanted stronger laws, and Augusta said, look, you should just control your wives better. You ought to rebuke and instruct your wives as you think fit. This is how I behave. Or in other words...
Dancing is one thing, you're falling all over the floor.
Oh, I know what's the matter with you. You're just jealous because he's a real man.
I swear to God, Deanna, I'm gonna belt you right in the teeth.
Oh, you couldn't belt your mama. Nothing. These dagos are crazy when it comes to their wives.
Michael says that if you can't take care of this, I have to. I think you better.
Never marry a what? They treat their wives like shit. I didn't mean to say what. Oh! Oh!
I can't control him, Mikey.
You're my brother, Fredo. You don't have to apologize to me.
Oh, I love that
scene.
Now
that's power. That's power.
Brotherly love. You're my
brother,
Fredo.
Let me take care
of
your bitch wife for you.
You don't have to apologize to me. I'm going to have you whacked by the end of this film, but...
but...
Right now, it's okay.
Yeah.
I like this. So Augustus is like, this is how I behave. And people were like, really? Really? You control Livia? Yeah. They kept asking for examples. Like, well, really, give us an example of how you control Livia. Really? Big Oogie? And he was like, well, you know, I tell her stuff. And they were like, yeah.
Firmly.
Sure you do, big boy. Sure you do. Yeah. Yeah. We know Livia. We know you don't tell her shit. She goes on tour with you to keep an eye on you to make sure you don't get up to shit. That's how much you control Livia. It's like
she's
Ray
right there
telling
you.
Yeah, it's like Ray telling. Ray couldn't even get people to come downstairs and get on the fucking bus on time in the mornings. That's how much. Ray is able to tell people what to do.
That's how much of power. Yeah. And I kept explaining to them, you're my posse. You have to do what I say. Come on, guys. And they just wouldn't listen to me.
Follow me. I'm your leader. Please. Somebody. Please. Please make me your leader.
What's a leader? What's a leader when no one's following him? A guy taking a walk.
Yeah. Getting back to the adultery laws, I wanted to say that people who were found guilty of adultery after this law was passed were... punished with banishment. It was serious, serious shit. You were sent to exile, but it wasn't like the good old days of exile where you could go into exile where you had a holiday house. You were sent to an island, men on one island, women on the other island.
Oh my God. No babies there.
And part of your property was confiscated. Fathers were permitted to kill daughters and the guy they were fucking. Husbands could kill their wives. No, they could kill the guy their wives had been fucking and were required to divorce their wives if found guilty of adultery.
Ah. So I could allow Heather to have sex with D'Angelo, kill him, and then divorce her. That's not a bad...
Yes. Mm.
That's not bad.
Or...
Well, I just...
have them sent to different islands. I want to go to the island where all the adulterous women were living together, man. That's...
Orgy!
Oh, my... Can you imagine? I wonder what that island was called. Probably
Lesbian orgy.
It was Lesbia. That was probably the island they sent them to, Lesbia.
I mean, the island was probably shaken with all the orgies. But again, I mean... the disconnect. I need a bunch of babies. I need a bunch of babies made and born, and I'm going to separate you two on separate islands, but whatever. But I just imagine that when they're talking about this, the punishment for having sex with someone before you get married, I imagine, you know, certain senators probably called up expert witnesses. And one of them said, I have someone who was well-versed in this issue, my lord, and I would like to bring him forward. And Augustus probably says, okay, yeah, go ahead. And he goes, it's you, my lord. Please sit down. I have a lot of questions to ask you about all the hiney that you nailed before you got married and other, you know, the wives of other women. So again, this was a very awkward thing for him. But again, like Cam said earlier, he is 45 years old now. He is a lot more mature. He is not going to fly off the handle and scream and get revenge on these guys when they embarrass him. And they do embarrass him to a degree. But this is the new Senate that he has created within certain confines. You can jab. You can have a little jab at the emperor, and it's okay. Your life and career are not about to come to an end.
But we're in an hour, so let's talk about that more next time on the show. I want to read a review before we go out. This is from
please
the United States. JTWNSC is the username. I just smacked my lips again. It's not smacking my lips though. I'm sucking.
It's part of your charm. Don't worry about it.
No, I'm fucking okay. Self-conscious about it. I'm sucking the saliva out of my mouth so I don't spittle over the microphone. Excellent. I have a very wet mouth, as you know, Ray. Excellent and entertaining history podcast. Blah, 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 blah. Really good. There's this bit. The politics may turn some off, especially Cameron, though he gets a pass in being from Queensland. I don't know how JTWNSC from the United States knows what that means. Maybe it's expat Aussie, he or she. Anyway, no, I get a pass because I'm right is why I get a pass. And you should all shut the fuck up and just listen. And go, oh, shit, this guy's, you know, he's obviously knows a thing or two. Maybe I should just listen. Anyway, thank you, JTWNSC, for taking the time to write a review. Much appreciated. Send us an email.
Thank you.
Email at, no, what's, Arve@lifeofcaesar.com with your address, and we will send you a token of our thanks. Don't forget, you know, we've got the Alexander Show. We're coming up to the end of that. Only a few episodes left to go before we finish the War of the Successors. Did a good interview with Professor Ian Worthington yesterday.
He's hilarious.
Which will be out in a few weeks. Yeah,
class act.
Lovely, lovely gentleman. On Ptolemy I. That'll be free on the feed if you want to check that out in a few weeks, if you want to know a little bit more about the founder of the Ptolemaic dynasty. Cold War Show. We've just finished the Yalta Conference after 21 episodes. I kid you not.
Did we finish it?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, okay, there's still a day or so.
But they took a photo.
We're just going to go, yeah, they got out of there. then we got to get to do a Potsdam conference.
Right. So, fuck.
But we'll whip through that pretty quickly because that was just, you know, building on top of Yalta. Check that out. Our Syria series is going well. If you want to know more about the Syrian Civil War and a little bit of the history of the Middle East, how it got into the fucking mess that it is. Our new series, which will take off after we finish the Alexander series, is on the Renaissance. That'll take off probably in the next month or so if you want to know about all the shit that happened, the politics, the art, the religion of the Renaissance. Check that out. I came up with another idea for a show over the weekend, which I told
Brilliant.
About. Wouldn't that be fucking awesome, wouldn't it? Just
that would be, yes.
Fucking awesome.
At least 30 years to do it, but where are we going?
I mean, we could even just do that instead of the Renaissance show, really. I mean, although I've read 50 books on the Renaissance now, so it would kind of be a little bit annoying, but we could do that. I'm not absolutely committed to Renaissance.
Right, because we'll get to it eventually.
What, the other idea? The other show?
The Renaissance. The if we did the other show,
yeah,
we would eventually
get
to the Renaissance. Because it's just too good not to.
Yeah. Anyway, let's think about that. My Christianity documentary is going well. For those of you who supported that, we've shot 6 interviews now in Australia. We're going to edit that down and see what it looks like. But the idea is just to use that as a basis to then go and figure out what the gaps are that we need to fill, and we'll go and shoot the US and the UK scholars over the next few months. So that is all nice. Fun. Thank you for the support. For those of you that supported that on Kickstarter, sincerely appreciate it. It's going to be a hoot of a film.
Looking forward to it.
What else, Ray? You got any news?
I still haven't adjusted to the time change yet, even though it's been almost 2 weeks. Maybe that's my age or whatever, but I sleep in the middle of the day and I'm all fucked up and whatever. But I'm still adjusting, so please bear with me. And if you haven't listened to the World War II podcast, it's pretty brilliant. Go out and check it out. Just the history of World War II podcast. And that's pretty much the only other thing happening in my life besides hitting on my sister-in-law.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Trick is to get him drunk first.
And send your wife out for a big black thing she can wrap her lips around while you're doing it.
That's right.
There's an old saying in Tennessee, I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. You fool me, we can't get fooled again.